Good evening.
Sorry, I have something I drink it just here. You caught me on the hop. What's happening? You alright?
This is resultant. Oh, pardon me. By the time we.
Oh, excuse you.
Excuse me.
And the stadium erupts in red, white, and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Derek, I am fan dabby dozy. How are you?
I don't think I'm better than that, but I'm certainly very good.
Put it this way, Derek, it has been a fantastic week, hasn't it?
Fantastic 2 weeks when you think about it, because 22nd of September was the last episode, but three games to cover and they've all been crackers, haven't they?
Yes, they certainly have. Absolute joys to watch, and I'm looking forward to going over the games with you.
Yes, so as I said, three games to cover. We've obviously got the Europa League draw, no spoilers there at all, and a few other stories as well to go. So may as well kick on and we'll go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. So the first game we've got to cover was Thursday the 24th of September. It was away to Willem II in the Europa. Away to Willem II. I'm a poet and I don't even know it.
You
know?
Exactly.
Yes. In the Europa League round three qualifiers, where we won an emphatic 4-0. And I wouldn't say it flattered us, but certainly kind of unexpected, wasn't it?
It really was, Derek. I mean, I think we were all thinking this was going to be a potential banana skin. I mean, I think we all were hoping that we would have enough in the tank to be able to beat this team. But I don't think any of us out there would have thought in a million years that we were going to have such an emphatic victory against them. And as you say, at the start of the match, which I'm sure you're about to go into, there's absolutely no chance that we thought it was going to end up the way it did, because, you know, they did look a decent team, and they put us under a lot of pressure, and we had a few shotty, you know, a few frighteners, but I'll let you get into that.
Yep, so we had one change from the Hibs game, where that was McGregor coming in for McLaughlin, who dropped to the bench. So we had McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hellander, Barisic, Davis, Arfield, Kamara, Hadji, Kent and Morelos. On the subs bench, we had McLaughlin, Bassey, Defoe, Itten, Jones, Patterson and Balogun. So really, in the first half, it was a professional first half. We allowed Willem a lot of possession. We were quite slow in the build-up when we did have possession, which, opposed to Willem, they moved the ball about very quickly, which, from reading up on them beforehand, they were touted as a very quick team and they like to pass the ball quickly. We were pegged back a lot of the time as well because of that. We had quite a few long balls up the park and we're actually getting a wee bit of joy from that. Right on the first minute, it was a long ball up into the box by Goldson, bounced right at the feet of Kent. He had jumped up and the ball got tangled up in his legs and it was cleared by the defender. I think with you look back on it, he was actually blinded by the stadium lights as well, and because you've seen him raising his hand, but it was a very good chance and it was quite dangerous if he had just maybe just one of these unfortunate things getting blinded by the lights.
Yeah, I know.
13th minute, was a shot well over the bar from Willem after some good possession and build-up play. 15th minute, was a quick snapshot from 25 yards on the right for Willem. Bounces right in front of the Gregor, who makes a save. Bounces back out and the attacker had a shot, but it was deflected up and over the bar for the corner, so that was really dangerous there.
Yes.
17th minute, good play down the left, pass to Kent on the edge of the box, takes on the player with a step over, puts in a great cross on the deck, but Morelos just short of it. Had he got to it, then all it needed was a wee touch, then it was in the back of the net.
Yep.
20th minute, Willem working the ball down the left, cut the ball back into the box, however they had a shot over the bar. And in the 21st minute, we gained ourselves a penalty. It was another long ball played up to Kent, who had a lovely first touch to take the ball down, and then he was clearly brought down. Certainly one angle was a clear penalty. You seen it on another angle and you were thinking, oh, maybe did he make a most of it there? But certainly I'm going with my first instinct that it was a clear penalty.
Definitely, yep. That's what I'm going to say, Derek.
So up steps Tavernier on the 22nd minute. It was another short run-up. I hate these short run-ups, but it just gives me the fear every single time. Tavernier, I think this was him taking his first penalty after missing the last few. Obviously not had any penalties in the Premiership either for over 300 days. This was no danger, though, and he puts it past the keeper. I think the keeper dived the right way as well, but it was enough power and at the right height to beat the keeper.
Derek, it really didn't dawn on me. As you say, and I know we've had the break where everything happened, but as you said, it's been such a long time since we had a penalty. And, you know, Tav had, you know, a couple of misses last season, and then he was off the penalties for a wee while. And I had just completely forgotten about that, and I just automatically assumed it would be Tav that would take it. So I never really, at that moment, really thought about it. And, you know, he stepped up and lashed the ball in, and, you know, absolutely fantastic. A great start for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were just on fire at that point, and we were just keeping pressing forward, and we got our second goal 2 minutes later on the 24th minute with Ryan Kent scoring. Morelos gets the ball from around 30 yards from goal. He takes it forward, looks up, realises he had space to shoot. He does so, skims across the ground. The keeper gets down and blocks it, but bounces up off him, spins out, only to find Kent running and knock the ball in the net from the follow-up. This is what happens when you have a shot, a speculative shot. The keeper, the defender, whoever, might make a wee error, and we've there to capitalise there. Just an instinctive goal from Kent there. Great for Morelos to have the shot in the first place as well.
Yep, as you say, great instincts by Kent. It's something, even down at grassroots level, you encourage the players to follow the shot in just for that chance, in case it, you know, the keeper makes a save, it comes out, in case it maybe hits the post, comes back out or whatever. And, you know, great instincts by Kent just to, you know, lash the ball past the keeper. And again, that was, to me, was game over. Derek, that had really knocked the wind out of Willem Twee's sails completely. Their players knew it. You could see that their heads were down, and we were just playing with supreme confidence then.
Absolutely. 33rd minute, Kamara gets the ball on the edge of the box, takes the ball into the box, shimmies, takes on players, got the ball to the touchline, was put off balance after a brush by a defender, gets the ball across, but nobody could direct it. Goalbound. That was brilliant from Kamara there. That's more of what we've seen of him at the start of his Rangers career, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was like a double take, wasn't it? You were like, who did that? That can't be Kamara doing that, you know, because it was so far forward. And as you say, he just was, you know, he was taking on his man no problem and getting past him. And again, as you've just said there, Derek, it's something, you know, that we'd like to see more of, and he quite, you know, that he's got the ability there, hasn't he, to do that. So no, great stuff.
Right. 35th minute, McGregor had an absolute fantastic save after Willem Player taking on a few of our defenders, got the ball to the left side touchline, a great cut back to the unmarked player who hits a shot from about 7 yards, and McGregor with a great diving save to stop it and collects it with the second touch. Another dangerous play there. So yep, they weren't down and out yet, and, you know, only at 2-0, it's always a big risk. They get a sucker punch goal, and then, you know, the pressure's all on us, and the momentum sways. But certainly McGregor, one of these things, you have a fantastic he's out for the cold almost. It was a fantastic save.
Yep, signing a great goalkeeper, Derek.
Yep. 46th minute, was a shot from outside the box by Willem. It was dipping, but fortunately it wasn't fast enough and it went over the bar. So that was into half time there. Certainly got to be delighted with that. Hadn't been our best, but we'd taken our chances when they came at us. Kent was the clear standout in the half. Barisic had a few shaky defensive moments. Hadji was trying, but it was not coming off for him. But certainly got to be pleased with 2-0 up at half time.
Definitely. I mean, I know you were saying that, Derek, but I did feel, you know, as soon as we scored the second goal, I mean, they did have that chance and the save by McGregor, but I did feel that we were well on top of it after that goal, and certainly were dominating the ball at that point. So I was absolutely delighted at half-time, Derek, you know, to go. As I said before the game, it was a potential banana skin this game, and to go in 2-0 up at half-time is just tremendous. And then in the second half, it was fantastic again.
Yep. Although we did have a few problems, because right from the kickoff in the 46th minute, it was a great save by the foot of McGregor from close range after a lot of possession by Willem, who are knocking the ball about well. McGregor saw it late as well, and he, from the replay, appeared largely unsighted as well. So another fantastic save there. In 54th minute, though, we put the game to bed with Hellander scoring to make it 3-0. It was a free kick floated into the back post from the right by Tavernier. It was picked up by Kent, controlled, passed back out the box. passed back to him. He takes on the player, crosses into the near post, and a lovely header down at the bottom left corner past the keeper by Hellander. Just all round, the play was brilliant there, but Hellander as well to get the ball down and at the back of net. Ken, the standout of that move as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely brilliant, Derek, as you say, and then the final ball in as well, textbook stuff, great header down, and that was us, you know, game finished. Great move, great goal.
Yep. I think at this point it was just a case, I think I said to you, my mates, you know, just make a quadruple sub or five subs then out and get you know, cotton wool wrapped around certain players because we're going to need them. But on the 69th minute, it was good passing move from left to right, ended up with Morelos in the box, has a shot, but it was just blocked out for the corner. And then if the game wasn't put to bed, that by then, on the 70th minute, it was completely out of reach because Goldson made it 4-0. The resulting corner from that Morelos chance there was crossed in from the right into the centre of the box on the right-hand side. Goldson towers above and heads the ball into the bottom left-hand corner. Just what a move as well. Just a great header from Goldson there.
Yep, totally. Rose above everyone, Derek. He was the only person that was going to get on the end of that. You could see, actually watched him just before it came in for some reason. I just, for you know, kept my eye on him. I watched him the whole way and he just completely out-jumped everyone right up, bang, into the back of the net. You know, a great, powerful play by Goldson. Something that we know that he can do. I think after the Hellander goal, though, Derek, I think, you know, we knew that we were going to get some joy up there and he obviously fancied his chances and, you know, he certainly made the most of it. Great goal.
Yep. And I kind of half got my wish over the next 8 minutes because we had a few substitutions. 71st minute, Kent off and Jones on. 73rd minute, Barisic off and Bassi on. 77th minute, we had a lovely move going forward from the centre to the right, ending on Morelos hitting a shot in the box, but it was scuffed and went just wide of the post. That was his last move of the game because a minute later he was taken off and it came on for him. 79th minute, Willem had the ball in the net, but it was ruled out for being bundled over the line by the guy's wrist. It was dangerous play with the cross in. Tavernier mistimed his header, hit off the attacker who was right behind him, who seemed to be completely caught unaware with it. He was fully expecting Tavernier to get the ball first. The ball came to the back post for the header. McGregor pulls off an incredible one-handed save from about 3 yards out, rebounded out, hit off the wrist of the attacker and over the line.
Yeah.
The save was arguably as good as anything Gorham's ever done, including the Van Hooijdonk one for me. It was just incredible.
Derek, I'm maybe a bit biased towards Andy Gorham. That, you know, that save for me will go down as one of my, you know, favourite saves, you know, as being a Rangers fan. So I'll not go that far, but it was absolutely sensational. And as you say, maybe just because it certainly did not deserve the guy to score. You know, when the ball actually went over, the save was that good. It would have been really a nightmare if that goal had have went in because the save was so good. As you say, the reactions were just absolutely incredible from McGregor there. Absolute top drawer goalkeeper. Really was brilliant.
On the 88th minute, there was a quick break down the park, ended in Jones on the right in the box, cuts it back into the box, falls to Hadji on the outside. However, he balloons it over the bar when he has a shot. And that was the last moment of the game and we ran out 4-0 winners. We were fantastic. We taken our chances. Had they maybe been a wee bit more clinical up front, it might have been a different outcome. But certainly, the game's all about putting the ball in the back of the net, which we done very well that game. Yep. And it was a joy to see. They were a good team. Let's not mistake that.
No, it was, Derek. And, you know, as you say, for us, it was just great, the fact that we were so clinical. I mean, how many times before have we played games and we've, you know, we've really criticised the players for not taking their chances and not being critical, clinical, I should say. And they certainly did that. Absolutely, you know, fantastic. I mean, an away result in Europe, Derek, to a team playing in the Dutch top flight, you know, that's a tremendous victory for us. I think the team have been brimming with confidence ever since that.
I was brimming after watching that game. Yes, I mean, can't disagree at all. Just a fantastic result all round.
Yeah.
And, you know, to make it even better, we knew who we were facing in the playoffs of the qualifiers as well, which was Galatasaray, which we'll get onto shortly as well.
Yep.
But the games came thick and fast because the next game after that was Sunday the 27th of September. It was away to Motherwell in the Premiership and we ran out 5-1 winners. Two changes from the Willem game with Bassey in for Barisic and Jones in for Hadji. Now that was an interesting one.
Yep.
They are certainly Barisic the last couple of games defensively, he's not been great. And Bassey coming in obviously giving him a good start. Jones as well. I wouldn't say out from cold because he was certainly making his bench and coming on for the bench as he did in the last game, but to get a start, which was interesting, considering his Rangers career was reportedly over as well at the start of the season.
Exactly. Derek, I think he actually played really well when he came off the bench against Willem II in the last game, and I don't know if that's what's maybe been playing on the manager's mind or not, the fact that he did play well when he came on. Certainly a guy that everybody has been backing, everybody's been wanting him to get a chance, because when we did sign him from Kilmarnock, he was an already tried and tested player in the Premier League. We knew he was a good player, playing on the wing. He was Kilmarnock's best player or one of their best players. The fact that that we brought him in at the time, we thought that this was good. He was going to be featuring a lot more. And as you say, all the reports were there that his time was up and he was going to be getting sold on or let go or whatever. So, and as you're about to get into, he had a fantastic game and, a great addition to the squad.
Yeah, he's certainly taken his chance when he got it in this game, because I think he was, he just tipped out from the man of the match position, I think. But anyway, we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Bassey, Hellander, Goldson, Davis, Kent, Kamara, Morelos, Jones and Arfield. On the subs bench, we had McLaughlin, Edmondson, Hadji, Defoe, Itten, Patterson, Stewart, Balogun and Barisic. So really, it was an excellent first half. Right from minute one, we looked as if it was never going to be in doubt from us. In complete control, pretty much all the possession, knocking the ball about well, playing some really skillful stuff, defending well on the rare occasion we're called into action as well. Only criticism, which I'll get into, was that before we scored our second goal, we were trying to get the perfect angle before we taking the shot.
Yep.
And too often we quickly broke up the park and then we slowed right down when we got to the final third and eventually played it back to the halfway line, which again allowed Motherwell time to regroup. But we ended up running away 5-1 winners. So
we've
done something right. But anyway, on the first minute, it was a free kick from the right by Tavernier. Perfect height for Morelos to head it. Was going into the bottom left corner, but the keeper makes a fantastic save just to put out for the corner. And then in the 10th minute, there was a penalty given to us after the ball played into the Motherwell box from Bassey. That amazingly named Bevis Mugabe controlled it with his hand. No complaints from the Motherwell players as well. We'll get into the penalty claims later on after the game.
Derek, don't cheapen our podcast by mentioning that twat's name. Please don't. I know you're going to, but oh God.
We need to cover him. But anyway, a second penalty for Tavernier and we put ourselves 1-0 up on the 11th minute. Another short run up, but it was in off the left post and then the keeper had dived the right way, but again, it was hit with enough power and enough accuracy that didn't matter.
He wasn't going to save that, Derek. As you say, it was the accuracy more than anything else for me that I was really impressed with. So, yep, great start.
Yep. Claim for a penalty for Motherwell after we had slight contact with their attacker in the box. Certainly not enough to give a penalty. It was very slight, and obviously the referee duly seen it as well. The referee was Bobby Madden in this game, so the less said about that, the better. <don't I>? However, we put the game effectively to bed on the 27th minute with Jones scoring and an absolute cracker of a goal.
Oh, what a goal, yep.
Morelos to Arfield at the halfway line on the right with some lovely link-up play, a lovely through ball down the right to Jones by Arfield, who takes the ball, runs directly towards goal, keeps going, cuts inside, hits a shot which hits off the left post and in the back of the net. Just a lovely direct play from Jones. This is the type of play that he was bought for. We knew how direct he can play and that's the result of it. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant, Derek. He's a different winger from Ryan Kent. Ryan Kent is full of, he is fast, Kent. He's full of trickery, Kent, isn't he, on the ball? Whereas Jones, I think, is your more direct winger. The ball through by Scott Arfield, Derek, was tremendous. And for me, it shows the confidence that he had in Jones as well, because Jones was slightly behind the defender when the ball was played. and he just completely outran him, you know, sprinted past him. The defender couldn't keep up. But the control, his first touch to take the ball into the box, and then, as you say, his second touch to cut back, you know, onto his left foot, and then, you know, the curled pass shot into the bottom corner. Supreme accuracy, fantastic control, and just a tremendous goal by Jordan Jones. And we were all, I mean, every Rangers fan out there, absolutely going daft, because, as I say, there's been so many people wanting to see him play because, you know, they knew what he could do. And that was just, it was tremendous, Derek. Great move all round and a fantastic goal for him. And, you know, his confidence from then must have been, you know, absolutely sky high from there on. And Rangers really, really dominant, Derek. Absolute joy to see.
Yep, absolutely. 35th minute, lovely from Morelos at the corner area on the right-hand side. Beats two men, gets the ball to Davis, who had some lovely link-up play, gets the ball across, falls to the back post to Kent, who squares it to Arfield. He switches feet, has a shot, was deflected out for the corner. Resulting corner in from the right and hits off the upper arm of the defender, and another penalty given for handball.
Yep.
And once again, in the 36th minute, up steps Tavernier. He blasted it in the bottom right corner, sent the keeper the wrong way. No complaints at all. Brilliant goal.
Yep. Great goal, Derek. And clear penalty as well. No complaints by anybody. And as you say, lashed away with supreme confidence by Tavernier. Great stuff. And what a lead to have at that point, Derek. Let's be honest. We, as Rangers fans, we're always waiting on the slip-up, aren't we? And we're always worried about the games. And for us to be in that position at that time was just tremendous. It really was brilliant.
Yep. I mean, Motherwell's always a difficult place to go, and maybe the fans play a part of that as well with the hostility, and obviously never had that issue there. Motherwell not been great this season, but they were just off the back of Cuffin. Was it Aberdeen the week before,
yep,
as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it was always going to be a difficult game, but they were powder puff, and they obviously were playing in Europe on the Thursday as well. So we're used to that kind of Thursday, Sunday. They weren't, so maybe that played a big part in how woeful Motherwell were in this game.
Possibly. I still think that, we maybe taking the shine off of us a wee bit, Derek, because we were in complete control in the match at that point and thoroughly deserving of being, you know, 3-0 up at that point. So I'm not going to take anything away from the guys at all, because it was just a joy to watch at that point. We really were cutting them to shreds, and it was just great. Every bit of play was coming off for us. There was no flukes in anything, you know. We weren't getting any dodgy ricochets or whatever. We were just playing with supreme confidence, and it's great to watch. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yep. So into the second half, on the 58th minute, it was a quick break up the park with Kent to Jones. Jones decided to take it on himself with a curling effort from the left side, but went well wide. 59th minute, Hellander off and Balogun on. That's obviously coming back for a wee injury there, just to probably give him game time. Game was over anyway. Again, I was hoping for, you know, a raft of changes probably at half time as well, just to wrap them all in cotton wool. Never really came though. 62nd minute, Motherwell with a header just over the bar after a cross in from the right. 64th minute, Tavernier lining up with an indirect free kick, however, sees the keeper that was not in position, and when the whistle was blown, he had an effort himself. Good idea, but maybe not clinical enough. Probably too far out to get any sort of power into it as well. 66th minute, Tavernier with a free kick up and over the wall from 25 yards. Keeper makes a good save on his left-hand side. 68th minute, Kent off and itting on, and he makes an immediate impact because in the 74th minute, he scores an absolute stunner. Arfield and Morelos linking up on the right side. Arfield with a great ball to itting on the edge of the box with his back to goal. He flicks up the ball, turns, hits an absolute peach of a shot into the top left bin to open up his Rangers scoring record. Just outstanding play all round. And that was one of the features of the game. This was the link-up play between Arfield and Morelos that kind of created it initially. But just the turn of the vision and the execution from it was outstanding.
Absolute screamer, Derek. I mean, what a way to score your first goal for Rangers. I mean, that was absolutely fantastic. As you say, taking that away from Scott Arfield, I thought it was tremendous in the whole match. But as you say, the link-up play with him and Morelos, and then, you know, when he gets the ball, he sees it, and just the way he flicks the ball up for himself, you know, first time, flicks the ball up with his right foot and just turns and swivels a la Michael Moles, because I mean, any time I see a player do a quick turning shot, I always think of Moles, but it was. But the fact that he flicked it up so the ball was in the half volley, and he just turns round and hits the most stunning shot past the goalkeeper. Absolutely sensational. And again, a player that we've all been desperate for to get on and score his first goal for the club. You know, just tremendous. A goal that he'll remember for the rest of his days. It was just brilliant. It was just absolutely fantastic.
Yep. So a minute later, though, a raft of changes came. Jones, Davis and Morelos all came off. Hadji, Edmondson and Defoe all came on. 77th minute, there was a free kick from Motherwell from 30 yards, up and over the wall. McGregor gets his fingertips to it and rattles off the bar and out for a corner. Really dangerous and unlucky that there.
Yep.
79th minute, though, we completely wrapped the game up and Itton gets his second of the game and we went 5-0. There was a corner in from Tavernier from the right to the near post. The ball comes in between the defender and Hadji, hits off Hadji's back and Itton blasts the ball into the net from 6 yards with the follow-up. Again, that was another kind of instinctive striker's goal, that one there. Just a bit of a nonsense and he managed to get the loose ball there. Brilliant.
Yep, it was. Poacher's goal, Derek, that was a sort of Chris Boyd-esque type finish, wasn't it? He just there or thereabouts, always sort of sniffing about in the box, manages to get the shot that came back off the Rangers player and in the back of the net. Again, just excellent for him. And at that point, I don't know if it was yourself or maybe you and I'd text to say plenty of time for the hat trick, and the reply that I got was who, for Tav or for it, because I forgot that Tav had scored the two goals as well. So just brilliant, Derek, and that scoreline at that point, you know, just tremendous. We'd never have thought again after a European night that we would go away to Motherwell and, you know, the score to be so comfortable at that stage. It's, you know, really, really good. And, you know, again, I keep saying it, you know, the team just playing with so much confidence. It was just great to watch. It really was.
Yep. However, we blotted our copybook on the 86th minute and Edmondson scored on OG. There was a corner in from the right, flicks off the head of the attacker and off the face of Edmondson, who never knew anything about it at all, and into the back of the net. Just disappointing to lose the goal that way. Can't blame Edmondson at all for that one. There should have been someone on the post, which would have stopped that one. Apparently, I've been told that Davis is normally on that post, and he had been taken off for Edmondson. So ultimately, Edmondson should have been on that post. Well, you know, you can change personnel, but, you know, plays during set pieces shouldn't change. Yes. You know, it should be bread and butter. So, you know, if the player who is meant to be on the post comes off the park, then whoever comes on for him should be on that position. So that's the only blot in the copybook. I'm glad, though, that we lost two goals against Hibs, because I hated our non-conceding record to get blown by a silly OG like that as well. So that's the only saving grace for that one. But, you know, these things happen, so can't blame much there.
At least if that had been the case, though, Derek, at least we would have said that the player that scored against us was one of your own players. You know what I mean?
So exactly.
No, that had happened, but as you say, he didn't even know it was happening. He didn't see it, and you took the words out of my mouth there, Derek. It is usually Steve Davis that's got the front post covered, you know, when we're defending these things, and he was off. But you would have liked to, I think. Hopefully, I think the manager and the coaching staff will be absolutely raging with that one, because that should have been organised. The defenders in there should have, you know, had someone on there, and it didn't happen. So, you know, they shot themselves in the foot there. But again, losing one goal when you're 5-0 up, you know, it's nothing to, you know, majorly worry about. So, just one of these things, unfortunately.
Yeah. And the last piece of play in the game was on the 88th minute. It was a lovely long ball from Tavernier on the right wing into the box to Defoe. Superb first touch control and a great shot, but the keeper was well positioned to save it. So unlucky that from Defoe. But running out 5-1 winners, absolutely fantastic. Can't argue at all with that.
Yep, absolutely brilliant, Derek. As you say, we are always waiting on a sort of slip up, aren't we? As Rangers fans, it's always in the back of our head that we're like, oh, God. You know, can he slip up this week? We'd even take a 1-0 or a dodgy 2-1 as long as we get the points. But really, when you think back to Derek, we were in complete control of that game right from the very beginning of the match. We had nothing to worry about at all. And, you know, it's just, I keep saying, at this moment in time, it's great to watch. Everybody's firing on all cylinders. And when you think of the players that we've got out as well, still to come back, it's, you know, it's a great sign. And especially the attacking options that we've got, Derek. I mean, I know that Roof's out and injured at the moment, but when you've got, you know, Morelos, Itton and Defoe all up there, and then we're bringing back players like Jones as well, it's, you know, it's great to have that depth in the squad just now. And if we're at full strength as well, if we will be at full strength, you know, it's great to know that we've got players that can really come on and make a huge difference.
Absolutely. So, I know you don't want to sully our podcast with this guy's name.
Don't do it, man.
I think we have to talk about him because...
So positive tonight, Derek. You're going to have to just come and ruin it by speaking about this absolute twat of a man. Right, on you go. Keep it brief.
I know he's employed by Celtic, so he's obviously got an agenda as well. But it makes you wonder, why is he allowed to be a panellist on... a national broadcaster on the BBC. So he was on Sports Scene after the game, and his usual anti-Rangers sentiment. Now, we weren't the only game this weekend. It happened in the English Premiership as well with some handballs, and it all stems from this new handball rule where if your arm's flailing out like that, or you move your hand towards the ball, and it basically it's a handball regardless if it was deliberate or not. Try to determine if somebody deliberately has done something is near impossible anyway. Only the player himself will know that. So he claimed that Rangers were not clear handballs for us to get our penalties. He claimed that the Motherwell should have had two clear stick-on penalties as well, which one of them, I can understand why he thinks that, but the referee's seen it differently, and you look back in the replay, there was certainly not enough contact to warrant a penalty. Never mind, I don't know where he gets the second one from. And then he actually came out with, the defender never had time to react, so it shouldn't have been a penalty in terms of our handball. So let's give this scenario. We could stick 11 players on our line when we're defending a set piece during a corner or a free kick. They could all have their hands raised. A shot or a header could come in at close range and it could hit off one of the defender's arms or one of our players' arms, which is well raised above their head. And because he's not got time to react, then under his terms, it shouldn't be given as a penalty. What a load of absolute bollocks from that man. And then he had the absolute audacity to come away with, it was a day later, Hugh Dallas was on the radio the next day stating, you know, giving the rules and all that kind of thing and giving his opinion of it and stating clearly it was a penalty. Then Stewart took to Twitter to actually say, I hear Hugh Dallas was on the radio. Was there anyone on to offer a counter? As another, why should anybody come on to give a counter? Was anybody on the panel when he was on the panel to give a counter to him? Was there a referee on the panel then? The guy is an absolute fucking weapon, and why we are paying his wages to give clearly a biased view against Rangers every single time. And I know that's maybe where the BBC are going now. Sutton done it with BT. And he still continues to do it because I've seen something on Twitter about him tonight. Maybe that's the way BBC are going now, just to try and antagonise us, to go for the hatred of Rangers to bring in the green pound.
The way I see it, Derek, when you're talking about the two of them, Chris Sutton's a wind-up merchant, right? Chris Sutton is going out of his way to try and get a reaction from Rangers supporters. And I think deep down he knows that the vast majority of the things that he's saying are a lot of shite, and he's doing it just to get a reaction. Whereas I genuinely think that Michael Stewart is believing what he is saying because his hatred is so, you know, so wild towards us that he actually believes what he's actually saying. So, as I say, Chris Sutton is just—he's a wind-up merchant. He knows what to say, when to say it to get a reaction. I don't think that Michael Stewart is as intelligent as what he is to do that. Not that I'm saying Chris Sutton's intelligent, but I honestly don't think that Michael Stewart is doing it to get a reaction. I genuinely, you know, think he believes that he's right here. And he's so, you know, I'll not say green-coloured spectacles, but his non-blue tinted spectacles show every single week. He just does not want to give us praise for anything whatsoever. It actually goes as far as saying that he's up there on level with your likes Andy Walker. You know, you can just tell when Rangers are playing well or doing something. Andy Walker is loathed, you know, to say anything for us. But at least you can say with Andy Walker, well, we know where his allegiances truly lie. You know, he's an ex-Celtic player. You know, of course he's not going to like Rangers. But with Michael Stewart, you're like, oh my God, where is this all coming from? Does it all stem back from the fact that he was a failed trialist with us, Derek? Because that's where it all comes back to. There's got to be something.
I think so.
It is just incredible. And I do genuinely believe that he honestly thinks that he's correct with everything he's saying. And it's ludicrous. He's just, the man should not be allowed. As you say, he has got interest in our rival team. He's employed by them as a conflict of interest. Why is he allowed to make any comment on anything that we do, especially on the BBC? I don't know.
Biomechanics.
Exactly. This is your fault. I was in a great mood before we started, Derek. This is your fault for bringing that bloody idiot up on this podcast. Let's move on swiftly, please.
Yes, let's move on, because the probably the peak of the games we're going to cover here, and certainly I was peaking last night as well. Thursday, the 1st of October, it was at home to Galatasaray, and we won 2-1 in the Europa League qualifier playoffs to put us through to the group stages. Before we get into it, though, there was the usual Twitter moans about season ticket holders not getting the game for free on RTV. The club done a wee incentive, as if you have a season ticket, it's £10 for you and you get 5 MyJers points, and it's £15 for all other people.
Yes. Nah.
It's a bit of a rock and a hard place for the club here, because clearly they're losing money with this. I mean, they're going to be making, after, you know, expenses, round about £1.5 million if we had 50,000 fans in the stadium. We're clearly losing a lot of money with that. I think it was somebody on Twitter put out the fact that if you take it at, say, 50,000 fans paying a tenner, you know, there's only 500 grand. It's going to be nowhere near like that, because there's some fans that do what I do, is pay for the unlimited package anyway. There's multiple season ticket holders in the same family. There's a few folk that would go to the pub for it. So you're never going to get the full 50,000. So Rangers are making a hell of a loss on this.
Yeah. I actually think, Derek, that Rangers done quite well. I mean, for guys like me and you that aren't season ticket holders but were desperate to watch it, we, you know, we paid the money, the full price to watch it. And as you say, it certainly wasn't going to be the same price as an actual ticket for the match. If, you know, we'd have been able to go, we were able to watch it. The fact of the result and all of that, I'm delighted that I did, you know, that you're about to get into. I actually think it was a, you know, well done by the club, because they could have said, you know, we'll give season ticket holders, you can watch it for free. But if you think about it, Derek, the season ticket holders, if they were wanting to go to the game, would have to pay for the ticket money on top of their season ticket anyway. So, you know, let's say, you know, a ticket, let's say we were allowed to, you know, fans were allowed to go to the game and the ticket was, let's say, £45 for a game like that. Season ticket holders would have had to have paid that for £45 regardless on top of their season ticket anyway, because their season ticket is only for, you know, league games. So I think that they did. It was a good thing, you know, that they did it at a cut price for them. I can see where a lot of people are coming from as well, but I think, you know, at this time, it's great to support our club. And I didn't see that many people complain about it, Derek. So, as you say, that the club was stuck, quite good, I think, that they did do it at a reduced price.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand where you're coming from. I can understand where the club's coming from. It's, as yeah. I said, rock in a hard place. Yep. At the same time, when you want this midfielder in, this striker in, this defender in, you can't moan at the same time as not putting money into the club when they ask you to. I know there's been a lot of expenses. At the same time, it was your choice. You kind of knew what you were signing up for when when the fact that it was probably going to be no games this season in stadiums, which is going to be highly likely now. But, you know, commendable that you still paid it, absolutely. Yep. But at the same time, and everybody knew what they were paying for, ultimately. So.
And a big thanks to all the Celtic fans that would subscribe to as well, Derek, to sit and watch it. Thanks very much.
Right enough. We might have, you know, made our money back, actually, the money that has made. Aye. So we lined up with two changes from the Motherwell game. It was really just a straight swap back again with Barisic and Hadji in for Bassey and Jones. On the subs bench were McLaughlin, Bassey, Defoe, Itten, Jones, Balogun and Jack. Now, we knew this was going to be a tough game, but I don't think we really needed to worry much, to be honest. It was an interesting first half, a lot of cat and mouse from both teams. We started off at a very high tempo, we're pushing up, and Galatasaray looked taken quite aback from it. We dropped the pace around the 15th minute mark, which allowed Galatasaray a lot more possession, a lot more time in the ball, but they were lacklustre up front, as we were, mind you. Barisic, again, a wee bit suspect in defending on occasion. Goldson gave the ball away a couple of times in midfield. Morelos completely off the boil, taking the wrong option a number of times. But anyway, in the third minute, there's a quick break up the park with a great ball from Kent to Hadji, who plays a ball into the box for the on-running Morelos, but the keeper was alert and they came out to it and managed to put the ball out for the corner. Resulting corner, pinballed about and eventually ricocheted off what might have been the arm of the defender. Nothing given. He did pull his arm back on the replay though, so correct decision for it not to be given. 10th minute, corner in from the left, Goldson at the back post with his head, certainly on target, unsure if the keeper was getting to it, but the defender managed to flick it over the bar with his head anyway. 26th minute, good link-up play with Morelos and Hadji going forward. Morelos had two chances to take the shot, but he tried to pass it back to Hadji and the defender got the tackle in. Yeah, wrong option from Morelos there.
Yeah.
31st minute, corner in from Galatasaray, not cleared. It came back to Galatasaray, who in the box tried to cross it in, came off the arm of Davis, but nothing given. Again, correct decision given, as his arm was into his body there. So, as I said in the post-match, there was no VAR because it was only the qualifiers. Two arguably contentious decisions, and clearly when you see it in the replay, it wasn't given quite correctly. You know, it just goes to show you, as I said again in the Willem game, that this is what happens when you get good referees.
Yeah, no, and you know, he let the game go on as well, Derek. You know, he quite clear that he had a good view of both incidents there, wasn't it? I mean, I know we would have been shouting, you know, with the Galatasaray one, we would all have been shouting in hope more than anything else for a penalty. But as you say, he had clear, you know, a clear view of both incidents, let the play go on. You know, I can't complain about referee all in the first half, Derek. He was very good. The game flowed very well. And as you say, at that point, Derek, I was quite content because even although Galatasaray were coming back into the game slightly by that point, we were still handling anything that they had. I thought our three in midfield were excellent at that point. They really were. They were, you know, they weren't wasteful at all in the ball, and you know they really did look in control. And when playing a team of that quality, it's just great. The confidence, as I said, for the last few games has just been brilliant, and it showed in this game as well. Even when you know we did, because the first about 15 minutes, like you say, we really went for them, and exactly just like what you said. You know, I would have said the same thing. They looked in a bit of a shock. It's just a shame that we didn't, you know, score in the first 50 minutes because we really went for it. But even when they came back in, we still looked solid, Derek, didn't we? And we were still, as I say, especially in midfield. I think Scott Arfield's just been tremendous now. He really has a standout again. I don't think he wasted one ball at all when he just looks like a completely rejuvenated player. And, you know, at that stage, Derek, I was still quite confident. I was still feeling, you know, really confident that we're going to get something from the game.
Yeah. Finishing off the first half there on the 32nd minute, corner in from the left, knocked away by Galatasaray, but only to Kamara outside the box, who was a half volley, but went well wide. 35th minute, great long ball up by Goldson to Kent, who chests it well. It was just outside the box with no support, so he held it up, tried to make space, but his shot was blocked. Came out to Morelos, who switched it on to his right foot, and the defender managed to knock it away again. Again, wrong decision by Morelos. So at end of the first half, you know, got to be fairly content with that. Still a big 45 minutes to come. We were certainly, I wouldn't say we were in control, but we were certainly Galatasaray weren't shown very much either. So,
I genuinely thought at half time, Derek, I was really quite pleased because I did think our midfield were definitely the better than their midfield at that point. I didn't think we were. I know that we weren't sort of bombarding them with shots and things like that, but I was still really confident for the second half because we were, playing, really well against a top team. So, I was feeling really confident.
Yep. So into the second half, 45th minute, down the left with Kent, beats his man, good cross into the middle of the box to find Morelos, who heads it towards the right side. It was a relatively comfortable save for the keeper. It was a chance on target, at least. Morelos in that position normally does a lot better. It was maybe a wee bit too far out to get some proper power on it, so we'll maybe let him away with that one. But anyway, 6 minutes later, though, we scored our first goal, and what a beauty it was from Scott Arfield. A lovely move with Tavernier in the middle of the park, near to the centre circle, plays a lovely ball to Hadji on the edge of the box in the centre, who has one touch to control, a second touch into the box to the unrunning Arfield, who collects it, controls it, and then calmly slots it past the keeper. Clinical and incisive, that's what we wanted, and we got it. Brilliant goal.
Yeah, great goal, and again for Arfield, reminiscent slightly of the goal that he scored against Celtic at Ibrox, wasn't it? The way that he continued his run through. And this is what we want to see from Hadji, Derek, isn't it? This is what we know that the guy can do. His awareness of where his teammates are and the weight of the pass through, the final ball through. That is what Hadji can do for us. He's not doing it often enough, I get that, but in these big games, for that one instinctive pass from him through, and as you say, Arfield, who is just, he's been my favourite player recently, I think he's been tremendous, his confidence must be sky high as well. He just went through, and with the outside his boot, just sort of slots it under the goalkeeper, supreme control. And just a fantastic goal, Derek, wasn't it? And it was just, it came at the right time for us because we were really building at that stage, to score. It was the best time for us to score at the start of the second half. Just great stuff. Absolutely delighted. And, again, the confidence brimming for the team, wasn't it? It was just brilliant to watch.
I'm not going to make that joke again.
I know.
On the 57th minute, it was a good move by Galatasaray down the right. Gets the cross in, but Goldson with a perfectly timed tackle to knock it out from the corner. In the 58th minute, though, if you thought the first goal was fantastic, this was probably nearly as good a goal as we scored against Borussia Dortmund all those years ago. It was just an outstanding all-round team goal, and Tavernier, the architect and ultimately the finisher, because he made it 2-0 on the 58th minute. I've watched it back several times now,
and
it was from the keeper to, I think it was Goldson, to Tavernier on the right-hand side, pretty much near our box. He started it. It ended in, he basically played it up into the middle. Kent, Morelos dummied it, got to Kent on the left-hand side. He played it up to Barisic. Barisic near the corner flag puts in a lofty cross in. I think it might have taken a deflection. I've seen a video today where he actually turned his face away because he thought it was a duff cross. It looked as if it was a duff cross, but it goes right to the back post to Tavernier, who heads it in past the keeper. The defender never even knew Tavernier was there. As I said in the post-match pod, we've seen it time and time again when Gazza played with us. He just used to ghost into the box completely unnoticed from a starting position of way, way back in our half. That's what Tavernier done in this move here. It was outstanding, all-round move. And it wasn't just the fact that there was about 8 or 9 passes involved in it without Galatasaray getting it. It was the quality of the passes, just the layoffs, the wee turns, everything about it was just incredible.
And the height that he got up, Derek, for the header as well. Yeah. He towered above the defender and the goalkeeper. He bullet the head. I couldn't believe it. Me and my son were sitting watching it, and the two of us kind of looked at each other as if to say, surely that's no in. And it was just the height that he got up. We didn't realise at first who it was that headed it. And as you say, when we seen it was Tav, I thought that is just incredible. Because as you say, he almost started the move, fell way back in his own box. How the hell, he ended up, up there knowing that was going to happen. Quite incredible. The whole move is just sensational. I've, like you, Derek, I've watched it loads of times now. It wasn't one-touch football, but it was as good as you will see, because even guys that did take a touch, they would take a touch and beat their man quite easily. The space and the movement for the rest of the team was sublime. And then, as you say, the final ball to Barisic, who, you know, as you say, I think he thought it was a duff cross, but lofted right in there. And, you know, a fantastic header. Absolutely sensational stuff. I still, getting goosebumps thinking about it now. It was just simply fantastic. It really was. And at that stage, you know, at that scoreline, it was, you know, it's just great. You know, where every single Rangers fan out there is buzzing, completely buzzing at that stage. And, you know, just great. I can't say any more superlatives about the way that the team was playing at that stage. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, 2-0 up against Galatasaray in the last kind of quarter of a qualifier, just amazing. But anyway, in the 63rd minute, Galatasaray had a call for a penalty. It appeared to go down quite easily. Maybe got off with one there because Arfield didn't really get near the ball at all. A big call from the referee. The player was booked, so I'm not sure if it was for diving or for remonstrating for not getting the call. So, yeah. 74th minute, great move with Hadji on the touchline near the dugout. Receives the ball back after passing it out. Puts a backheel flick pass to Tavernier, who plays a lovely ball to Morelos, running into the box on the right. Takes it forwards and has a shot, but hit wide. A poor effort after a great move as well.
For Morelos, we've seen him so many times in that position, Derek. Lash the ball into the nets, as you say, it was a poor effort by him.
77th minute, Hadji off, Jack on. Made sense at that point. 2-0 up, taking the attacking player off for the holding midfielder. 80th minute, Tavernier with a fantastic long free kick into the box from the right. Fell to Morelos, who puts it wide from the volley. I think give him a bit of leeway on this one, because it appeared that the ball hit him on the run rather than him hitting the ball. He maybe needs to time his run a wee bit better than that one, but certainly it was a bit unlucky, that one there. 82nd minute, possession from Galatasaray ended in a deep cross into the back post from the left. An acrobatic effort easily gathered by McGregor. 84th minute, Morelos with a shot on the edge of the box on the right, but wide at the near post. At this point, Morelos should have been off about half an hour ago.
Aye, I know. He should have. He was off the ball at this point, Derek. It wasn't going to work for him. His link-up play during the game had been excellent. You know, I'll give him that. But in front of goal, it wasn't working for him at all. And I, like you, was saying, you know, he needs to make a wee change here just to freshen it up front. But maybe, again, he was thinking that his link-up play was causing problems. That maybe that was the reason that he kept him on. But he was certainly being wasteful in front of goal.
I think there's maybe a part of it as well. We're 2-0 up against a good side here. Don't make any changes to upset the balance in that respect. But obviously he made the sub with Hadji in the 77th minute. So it's one of these things. Again, a bit of hilarity on the 85th minute though, with the Galatasaray manager and Gerrard having words on the touchline. The fourth official had to usher the Galatasaray manager back into his dugout. Gerrard giving him the yap-yap sign with his hands, telling him to get back in his area. Absolutely hilarious. In the 86th minute, though, we made it edgy for ourselves because Galatasaray pulled a goal back. It was a corner in from the right, into the back post. A free header was going right to Jack, who was standing on the line. However, McGregor tried to save it and tips it over him and into the back of the net.
Yeah.
As I said in the post-match, you can't really blame the keeper for going for it in some respects, especially if he didn't know Jack was behind him. Maybe a wee bit more communication needed there to say, leave it because I've got it. But it's one of these things. But we always like to do things the hard way.
I know. The guy that scored the goal, Derek, I mean, what size was he? You know, the big guy who scored, he must be about 6'8" or something like that. You know, he was absolutely massive. Apparently, this guy was a top goal scorer in Turkish football last season, but this season it's not really worked out for him. But he certainly was some size of a guy, some unit in there. So caused, you know, I thought when he was going to come on was going to cause a lot of problems. Thankfully, that was, you know, his one chance that, you know, it scored, and we were unlucky that we didn't clear it. So as you say, goalkeeper, you know, quite rightly went for it. Jack, really unlucky, because I think he might have, you know, cleared it if McGregor hadn't have touched it. It was just one of these things, unfortunate at that point. But I was still feeling quite confident at that point, Derek. I really was, because the defence, I think, had actually played very, very well up until that point. So I thought it was going to have to take something either very lucky or spectacular for them to score another one against us. So, as you say, slightly edgy at that point, but we're still feeling quite confident.
Yep, and they really offered nothing else after that. Morelos came off on the 87th minute for Itton, just a straight swap there. And we rounded out the game, 2-1 winners. Just absolutely incredible for the fact that that's now the third time in a row we've went through the qualifiers. Obviously, one less qualifying round this year because of what we'd done last year. Obviously, one game rather than a two-legged affair, which brings its own problems as well. As I said in the post-match, you set out for a game plan over the two legs.
Yes.
Away goals come into it as well. So it was a cup final, every single one of these games, and we played them all fantastically. Galatasaray, as much as they're maybe not as big a team and as good a team as they were in the past, especially when we played them about 20 odd years ago, they are still a massive scalp. Take nothing away from our exploits last night. We were fantastic. And the list of names that we've slain over in Europe over the last 3 years is just outstanding. So we look forward to the draw today. So we got Benfica, Standard Liège and Lech Poznan. So Benfica, Portuguese team, finished second in the league last year. They were in the group stage of the Champions League last year, finished third, and they were in the last 32 of the Europa League. Standard Liège of Belgium finished fifth in the league last year, and they were in the group stages of the Europa League. And Lech Poznan, Polish team, finished second in the league last year, and they weren't in Europe as well. So Steven Gerrard's already came out and said that he would be expecting to qualify from the group. So certainly, you know, a tough game against Benfica. You know, they're all going to be tough games. But the teams are going to fear us, and that's the big thing. The scalps we've put out, the way we play in Europe, teams will fear us, absolutely.
Derek, it could have been the way that I was looking at it. I was looking at the teams that we could have got, and you know, out of the top pot, Benfica were a team that I thought to myself, you know, considering we've beaten Porto and Braga for the same league, I thought we would have a good chance against this team, you know, if they were the top seeds in there. I'm not going to kid myself and say that they're going to be easy games. They're not. You know, there are still, you know, a quality team. I don't know a lot about the other two teams, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I know in Poland we've seen what Legia Warsaw have done recently, you know, in the last few seasons, a very, very good team. So Lech Poznan will be a strong team for us to play. So the Belgian team as well. Belgian football is, you know, a really, really strong league as well. But it could have been a hell of a lot worse, Derek. And I think we all are feeling quite confident that we will be able to, you know, go through on this. We certainly, you know, give ourselves more than a good chance of going through here. So I'm looking forward to it. That last night was just tremendous. It really has lifted everyone. Rangers are playing fantastically well just now. It should have been 2-0, to be honest with you. We should actually have won the game more because we created a lot of chances. A lot of people had us getting beat last night, but we've proved a lot of people wrong. And again, our record in Europe under Steven Gerrard is just absolutely fantastic, isn't it? Really, absolutely tremendous.
I mean, just looking at some of the teams there, I mean, Midtjylland are in the Champions League. I mean, we cuffed them 2 years ago.
Yep.
You know, Young Boys of Bern were actually in the seeded second. They were a pot above us. You know, and what have they fucking done compared to us in the last 2 years? You know, so this is where, you know, the teams that we could have faced are certainly, you know any better than us for a lot of them. So it's certainly doable. When we play the way we play like last night, it's certainly doable. So we just need to wait and see. I'm just glad we're there. It's basically worth us in monetary terms a minimum of about £7 million. That's if we get 0 points. I think they've upped the money for getting wins and draws as well. So certainly we have a good run. It's at least worth £10 million. So this is the difference between you know, getting in extra players and players of a better quality. So But in the league, though, in the table, we've played 9, won 7, drawn 2, lost 0, scored 22, conceded 3, goal difference plus 19, and are on 23 points. We're top of the league, 1 ahead of Celtic, who've got a game in hand, 6 ahead of Hibs, and we're 8 ahead of Aberdeen, who've got 2 games in hand, but there is a couple of games playing tonight, so that will be different by the time we get this podcast out.
Yeah.
Games to come. We've obviously got the next game Sunday, the 4th of October. That's at home to Ross County. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff, I believe. Then we've got the stupid international break for a couple of weeks. Next game, though, is Saturday, the 17th of October, away to Celtic in the Premiership. That's a 12:30 kickoff. Saturday, the 24th of October, at home to Livingston in the Premiership. That's a 1500 kickoff. And then Saturday, the 31st of October, away to Kilmarnock in the Premiership. That's a 1500 kickoff. I'm not too sure when we actually play our European games. Do you know, Dave?
I had a look. I seen the fixtures today. Derek, I will tell you in just a second. You've caught me on the hop here, but I will tell you.
I've got it. 22nd of October.
There you go. I'll go with that. 22nd of October.
So obviously that will mean that the Livingston game will be moved as well. So, and probably the Kilmarnock. So that's the both games against Livingston and Kilmarnock will be moved as well, because we're obviously set for Saturdays and we're now going to be playing on Sundays, I can imagine.
Yes.
But strangely, it doesn't affect us too much just now, but 6 players have tested positive for COVID at Kilmarnock. The whole Kilmarnock team have been put into self-isolation for 2 weeks, and tonight's game with Killie and Motherwell has been basically postponed. It's not been decided for their games against Falkirk and Dunfermline what will happen with them over the next couple of weeks as well, and apparently the league are investigating how they've actually contracted it before any punishments get dished out. So we'll need to wait and see what happens there.
Yes.
Precedents were set with Celtic and Aberdeen, though. You know, their players were clearly at fault for that one there. So, and they basically got fuck all bans and fuck all fines. So we'll need to wait and see what happens with Kilmarnock there. And another bit of news tonight, it doesn't affect us at all, but it's just in where Scottish football's going, is that the Challenge Cup has been cancelled for this year as well, where the lower league teams have all decided, if you can't get fans in the stadium, there's no point in having it. So lessens the burden on the amount of games they have to play. So we need to wait and see what happens in the next few games, and we'll be back with some more there. But now we go into the classic match,
and there it is. The final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
So Dave, we're not having to drag up an old game from an old podcast.
You've got to keep bringing that up, Derek, haven't you? You're like a dog with a bone, you really are. But there you go. No, I've done some work this week. I went on to RTV, which is fantastic for me, with a lot of archive games. And I found this one absolutely brilliant. I'd forgotten all about it, Derek. It was back 18 years ago. It was the 1st of December 2002, a Premier League match at Tynecastle against Hearts, where Rangers were emphatic victors by 4-0. The Rangers team on that day, Stefan Kloss, Kevin Muscat, remember him? Craig Moore, Lorenzo Amoruso, Arthur Newman, Fernando Rixon, Mikel Arteta, Barry Ferguson, Shota Averladze, Ronald De Boer, and Neil McCann. On the bench, Bob Malcolm, Stephen Hughes, and Michael Moles were the three players who came on for Rangers in that game. The Hearts team on that day, a few players that I can remember, so it wasn't that long ago. Mackenzie, Maybury, McKenna, Webster, McCann, Quifio, who was a French player apparently. McFarlane, Severin Stamp, Valois, another French player, and De Vries. So starting off the game, it was actually Hearts who were putting us under some early pressure. A long range shot, but was easily saved by Stefan Kloss. Then in the 8th minute, a great chance for Rangers. Arteta 1-2 with Ronald De Boer on the edge of the box with a first time pass to Shota Averladze, who was 1-1 with McKenzie. He hits a low shot, great shot, but a fantastic save by the feet of McKenzie. Really unlucky there, but Averladze. And then it was a bit a midfield battle. Hearts putting quite a lot of hefty challenges in there, trying to get a hold of the ball, but Rangers coming out on top, really. And then on the 28th minute, Barry Ferguson on the edge of his own box, takes the ball out himself, then a great pass to Fernando Rixon on the right wing. He puts it right through on goal on the right-hand side. He shoots straight at the goalkeeper. It comes back to him, and then he, great vision by him, across to the back post, and a diving header by Ronald de Boer going into the goal, but there was a goal line clearance by Webster to put the ball away. Really should have scored there. Unlucky there. There wasn't much more that De Boer could have done because he smashed the header at the goal. Really unlucky there, but still 0-0. 40th minute, a wee bit of pressure by Hearts, resulting in a long-range shot, but again, straight at Stefan Kloss. But unfortunately, Arteta had to go off at that stage, picked up an injury, and Stephen Hughes came on in his place. But rounding out the first half, it really was all Rangers. Hearts were reduced to sort of long shots, but unfortunately for us, still 0-0 at half-time. Into the second half, another early chance for Avaladze as well. He tries a sort of chip lob. We thought it was going in just over the bar, unlucky there. But thankfully, on the 52nd minute, Rangers opened the scoring.
That's won back by McCann, and Newman lofted in. Here's a chance for Fernando Rixon, and Rangers have scored. 6.5 minutes into the second half, and in the end, that goes down as Alan Mabry's mistake, which sets Rangers up to open the scoring.
Mabry should have cleared the ball. Absolutely no question about it. Opportunities to play it forward, trying to be smart. It's not a free kick. McCann got onto the ball. Arthur Newman picked up the loose ball. A good ball in. Rixon, good support. But gets the break here, but loads of time to pick his spot, and it was in the net anyway. Vessel, a deflection from a Hearts defender.
Arthur Newman it was who picked up a loose ball on the left wing. He puts a cross in, which is headed away by the Hearts defender, but it fell perfectly for Fernando Rixon, running in at the edge of the box, and he smashes it in at the top left-hand corner of the goal to put Rangers deservedly 1-0 up. Great goal, great finish by Fernando Rixon. And then there had been a bit of a tussle all game between Mabry and Neil McCann. They were sort of a lot of pushing and shoving and barging about with the two of them, and Mabry had already been booked. He picked up his second yellow card of the game, so he was off. Hearts down to 10 men. And then another great chance for Ronald de Boer. This time it was Rixon who gets the ball on the inside of the box, the right-hand side. He sees de Boer at the back post, puts in a fantastic chip for de Boer. He hits it first time, but another fantastic save by McKenzie and out for a corner. It was all Rangers at that stage. Getting into the 70th minute, Michael Moyes comes on for Neil McCann. Hearts again, they're reduced to long range shot. The 70th minute, Moyes on for Neil McCann. Hearts again, they actually had a shot from just inside the Rangers half, but it was over the bar. That was about as close as they came. And then on the 78th minute, Rangers awarded a penalty.
But Rangers might just seal things with Ronald de Boer. Was there a foul? Yes, there was. It's a penalty for the foul off the ball on Michael Moyes, and Rangers now can secure the points.
That came about as Avaladze threw ball to Ronald de Boer on the right wing. Great ball into the box. A low cross then for Michael Moyes, but he was fouled running in. And the penalty was given to Rangers. And in the 79th minute, Barry Ferguson steps up.
Barry Ferguson, 8 goals already this season. Will the skipper secure the points? Yes, he will. Goal number 9 of the season, his 7th successful penalty kick. 2-0 Rangers. And surely now no way back for Hearts.
Fires it low and in the left hand past the goalkeeper to make it 2-0 to Rangers. So really that was it. We wrapped the game up at that stage. Only 10 minutes left. But we only had to wait 2 minutes for us to get our third goal.
Shot to Avaladze to the byline. Great ball in for Fernando Rixon. 2 for Rixon. 3 for Rangers. And a headed goal from Rixon must be something of a collector's item.
It's a good goal from Rangers. They're taking advantage now. Sort of other lads are down the left-hand side. That's a marvellous ball in. The goalkeeper can't come for it. Ask him to get attacked. Rixon attacked exceptionally well. It's a good header down the way. Good pace in the ball, giving the goalkeeper no chance.
Shota Avalagi in the left wing, great step over, gets to the byline, a fantastic cross to the back post, and who's there? Fernando Rixon with a bullet header to make it 3-0. Rixon not known for his heading ability, but it was a tremendous goal, a fantastic cross by Avalagi there. Rangers 3-0 up and cruising. And then in the 84th minute, a great chance for Rixon's hat-trick at that point. Avalagi on the left wing, low to Ronald de Boer at the edge of the box. He sees Rixon running in. He has his back to goal, lays it off to Rixon, and he thunders a shot, but a fantastic save by McKenzie. Really unlucky there, Rixon, not to score, but a great save by the goalkeeper. But then right on the stroke of full time, Rangers got a fourth goal.
Rangers looking for number four. Stephen Hughes. They have number four. And that's Hughes' first goal of the season. And it seals a very comfortable Rangers win.
It's a good finish from Stephen Hughes, but the Hearts team, they're so tired now. Every time Rangers go forward, they look as if they're going to get an opportunity to score. Ronnie McKenzie's end goal, he's played so well today, he gets a hand to this one. He'll be disappointed he didn't get enough on it to turn it round the post. You give Ewan Hughes credit, good shot, made the run forward and got it on target.
Avalagi again picks the ball up on the left wing, almost a carbon copy of the last chance. He puts a low pass to Ronald de Boer on the edge of the box. He puts the another slow cross in. Stephen Hughes running in on the right hand side of the box. He hits a low shot right into the bottom corner, past McKenzie and into the net to make it 4-0 to Rangers. The referee blows the final whistle just after that. Emphatic victory for Rangers. Man of the match, undoubtedly Fernando Rixon. Absolutely fantastic play by Rixon in the midfield for Rangers. Two great goals. Really unlucky that he didn't score his third goal. And it's games like that that we should be remembering Fernando Rixon for, because he was fantastic. He had a bit of a reputation for being a bit of a hard man, but he was a fantastic player as well, Rixon, and two tremendous goals that he scored there. So, Derek, you'll definitely remember that one. It wasn't too long ago. It was great to go back and watch it. It's games like this that you kind of forget. You know, it wasn't that long ago, 18 years ago that it happened. Had some fantastic players to watch there. And again, anybody, if you've got a spare sort of 15 minutes, please go on RTV or wherever you see your old Rangers games for and watch that one, because I thoroughly enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just games like that. You see how much of a great player Rixon was, certainly when he got played in that midfield. And he obviously got the, was it that season? I'm sure he got the Player of the Year as well.
Yes.
As well. So, you know, what a player, and sadly missed. Yeah. If you've got a spare couple of hours, then the full managed to find the full game on YouTube as well. So,
excellent.
Yeah, so I'll post the links up there. So, Dave will be back with another classic match next time. So, we'll go into the news now. So, quite a few bits and pieces to cover, as usual.
It always does.
Always like, kind of research this before we go and do the pod, and I think, oh, we've not got actually a lot of news, and when I dial down any of this, there's actually normally tons. So the day before the Willem game, Gerrard was hit with a notice of complaint over his comments for the Dundee United game about the Morelos tackle. 12 days after the game.
Yes.
12 days. Needless to say, once again, it was just before a big important game we were to play as well. So,
and again, Derek, what did he really say? Really? Well, what did he say that merited anything like that?
Well, this is the words here.
Incredible.
He was very careful in what he said in his interview to RTV as well, not to the mainstream media.
Exactly.
And he was careful not to say too much. However, he did say, I'd be very interested to see what the decision would have been from the officials had the shoe been on the other foot and Alfredo had made the tackle.
Yes.
That's the exact same comments that every single manager has made without punishment.
Yep, exactly. And Derek, every single Rangers supporter, to a man, woman and child that watched that game, said exactly the same thing. as well. So there wasn't anything controversial in what he said there. He never said anything out of line at all. Even the Rangers haters out there would surely have probably said the same thing as well. Because we certainly said it, I know we did. So absolute farcical again. And it just shows you that somebody's got nothing better to do than to be sitting, listening, trying to pick up the slightest wee thing to throw at our club and our manager again. Pathetic stuff, Derek.
But this is the thing, is he went out of his way to say that he wasn't there to say that Edwards should have got a red card or at all.
Exactly. Yep.
It's ultimately been classed as a breach of Rule 72, which is about implying impartiality or something like that. Rangers stated that they were being used and will fight it all the way, and they've given the manager the full backing. Yep, the hearing has been set not a couple of days before the Old Firm game, I think, as well. So if he's found guilty, he's going to be not on the touchline for that. You couldn't make this shit up. You really couldn't.
No, you really couldn't. And Derek, it would not surprise me in the slightest if, you know, he was found guilty. Really, it shows you how an utter farce the powers that be that run our football, you know, that really are. It's absolutely shocking. The man never said anything out of hand whatsoever. It's quite disgusting, actually. I'm so annoyed.
This is what's even... The two things that are even more worrying about it is the fact that the referee never seen it. No foul was given. Yet we're getting picked up for what manager said afterwards. A player left the fucking field of play injured, had to be stretched off with a big gash in his leg. And yet we get bloody cited for what a manager said after the game. And the second, probably more concerning thing about this as well, the game in Scotland is fucked. We don't have any money. No club has money at this point just now. Rangers and Celtic aside, obviously. Rangers are now going to have to spend money, as are the SFA, hiring lawyers and going to court to fight this. Lawyers aren't cheap. The SFA and the SPFL, or whoever the fuck brought this, they're both in cahoots as far as I'm concerned, brought this. They're going to need to spend money on lawyers when they don't have money themselves. That's money that could be going to help out clubs to pay for COVID tests, etc.
Exactly, yes, I mean, the lower echelons of Scottish football, Derek, the clubs out with Rangers and Celtic are, you know, on their knees at this stage. And as you say, anything at all, you know, that would go to help these clubs. But as you say, no, they're going to be fighting their battles in court and spending a shitload of money on that. So it's just a farce. For what it was, Derek, it is an absolute farce.
Yeah. Next thing it kind of links in here, as a usually sane journalist, Ewan Murray, suggested that the Old Firm should help other clubs out during this crisis. Is he for real? Clubs are a business. If they're not viable, they're not viable. And yes, it will be sad if normal people lose their jobs over this and the history of clubs goes because they go to the wall. But the Old Firm are the reason why Scottish football has any sort of exposure and any sort of a TV deal to begin with. Rangers and Celtic in Europe get a payment, which some of that does get filtered down, because remember, we benefited from Celtic being in Europe as well, where we got partial payment. So other clubs in Scotland benefit from Rangers and Celtic being there. Rangers done more than their fair share during our run through the leagues, and somebody touted back, well, we're just, you know, going to support our team. Yeah, we're going to support our team in vast numbers, which gave clubs, some of them admitted, it basically bankrolled them for about 3 or 4 years.
Yep, well, aye, it did, Derek.
So...
And what was the old saying as well, Derek? I would rather that our club went to the wall than let Rangers back in. Do you remember that as well?
Exactly.
So, fuck them. That's what I say completely. No.
And people like Murray and fans of these clubs and chairmen of these clubs seem to forget that Rangers proposed a deal for us and Celtic Colts to be introduced into the lower leagues, and fees would be paid on an annual basis for us to do so, which would be getting paid to the league and then obviously to the clubs. However, that was knocked back due to self-interest reasons. These clubs, chairmen and fans also forget Rangers spearheaded calls for there to be investigations into the governance of our game. But due to, once again, self-interest, they knocked that back. Again, it calls into question the £400,000 per year Neil Doncaster gets. Clubs have ended up going to the SPFL and SFA to try and help them out, who have in turn went to the Scottish Government to try and get extra funding, who in typical Scottish government, they don't have the money, so they went to their begging bowl out to Westminster, despite criticising Westminster all the time. So this isn't something that is going to get sorted out. And I don't want them to give money to Scottish football, because football, yes, it's a hobby, it's a pastime, it's an important part of society, but right now, when people are losing their jobs right, left and centre, you know, people like me and you, you know, our families, I think that should be funded first before Scottish football. That's my personal opinion on that one. But it's a story for another day, isn't it?
As you say, going back, Derek, when we were playing in the second division, we took, you know, 35,000 fans away to Hampden Park when we played away. Me and my son were two of them when we played Queen's Park. You know, we paid, you know, premium prices for that. I mean, we, as you quite rightly said, we bankrolled these teams in the lower leagues for, you know, all the seasons that we were in there. We were in the Bombing Championship for two seasons, and these clubs fed off of the blue pound majorly. So no, they don't deserve anything at all. We have bankrolled the lower leagues well in the last 10 years as Rangers supporters. We paid a shitload of money for tickets and sold out their stadiums twice a season. They made an absolute fortune off of us and kept going, and it did keep them going for years. And I know my local team just now is East Stirlingshire, and they were one of the teams that benefited for that as well. They made an absolute killing from Rangers, and they're a part-time team. So we've done our bit, Derek. We have done our bit for the smaller clubs out there. So no, sod the rest of them. They were all ready to put the boot into us when it was our time we need. So no, they got absolutely nothing for me, I'm afraid.
So we'll need to wait and see what kind of transpires with that. But as you said, fuck them. Anyway, on to more happier times. David Resnick, a.k.a. at Stadiums for Ants on Twitter, has been in the media, and his Twitter completely blew up. He's got over 10,000 likes on his feed now after making a mini Ibrox. It is absolutely stunning.
Incredible.
What work he does there. He's got it all lit up. Everybody's probably seen it by now, so I don't need to say. I think he's running a competition for somebody to get it as well, and he's running a wee competition to get wee tiny replica SPFL trophies he's made as well, which was fantastic. So certainly, if you look at his other stuff, not just Ibrox, it's absolutely stunning. I think he's an Ajax fan normally. He's done Old Trafford as well. He's done a lot of baseball stadiums. What he does is absolutely fantastic.
And it's incredible. I'm actually looking at his page just now. It's at Stadium for Ants, and you should really go and check it out. Some of his work's absolutely stunning, and what he's done for Ibrox and the surrounding, Derek, it's not even just the stadium, it's the surroundings as well. It's incredible. It's just it's like looking at Google Earth, isn't it? And he's just it's absolutely fantastic. And he's put the lights, and you know the floodlights of the stadium and everything. So it really does look spectacular. Absolutely incredible. If you get the chance, you should really go and see it. It's quite spectacular.
I did have to laugh though, because he put the Sports Direct kind of banners up on the top, on the tier of the club deck. A lot of people got onto him, so he had to change that one there. So, you know.
No, it's quite spectacular. I'm looking at it now. So really, she's get on and follow the guy if you're a fan, if you like sort of stadiums and things like that, and looking at it, the work he's done and the attention to detail is quite spectacular. It really is.
Next story here is friend of the pod, Graham Clark, and his events and entertainment company Five Stars have been appointed by Rangers as our official Rangers Legends event supplier. They've also released a range of gin as well, linked to players Alberts, Amoruso, Duran and Newman. So I doubt Graham will be coming back on the pod then, will he?
Of course he will, Derek. Me and him are childhood friends. So, Graham, if you're listening there, mate, give me a shout. We'll get you back on the pod. I'm sure he would come on, Derek. He's not too famous and too big for his boots to come back. And just remember, we were the first podcast that had him on there before he goes on all these other Rangers podcasts and everything. He was on our podcast first before anybody else. So
exactly.
that's a wee dig as well, Graham, for any any tickets for any up and coming events and all that. You know who your friends are. So.
So after much delayed, and I don't think they initially thought they were going to do this, but Castore have apparently tonight released infant kits. I'm quite disgusted at it, to be honest. £50 for infant kits. So you do get the socks and the shorts as well, but yeah, that's just an extortion. Considering how quickly kids grow out their clothes, it's an absolute joke paying £50 for that. You don't need to make them the same quality of material at all. You know, even if it was £30 for the full kit, that would have been a bit more reasonable. But a lot of fans have paid a lot of money just now for a lot of stuff. And for something that your kid is only going to get 6 months, maybe a year, if they're a slow grower out of, it's just not on.
It is, Derek. It's a lot of money, right? The one thing that I will say, and I agree with you completely, it's a lot of money. For myself, I still have my son's first ever Rangers strip, and it was the strip that we wore for the UEFA Cup final, and I've still got it, and I was lucky enough to get all of that squad to sign it, so that will be something that I will always keep for him. So I think that if it's, you know, your child's first kit, a lot of people will go out and buy it just for the fact that that's what it is. It's a hell of a lot of money, as you said though, Derek, but at the end of the day, people will go out and buy it. They will. I mean, they're no stupid, Castore. They know that they will go out. But I do agree with you, Derek. A lot of money. They could have made it, you know, at least, you know, sort of £30, which is still a lot of money for an infant strip. But it would have been a lot more affordable. So, you know, I'm disappointed that it is there. But a lot of people will buy it because, like me at the time, it'll have been their child's first ever strip. And it's something that you do keep for sentimental value. And, I was lucky enough, like I said, to get mine signed. But, it is a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah. Next story, due to COVID restrictions, plans to get fans back in the stadium have obviously been put back. This has resulted in calls from certain sections of a certain club to get the Old Firm game be pushed back until the fans are in the stadium.
They're desperate for fans in there, Derek. Desperate is what they are. And they'll try anything they can for it to be changed. I don't know what. I don't know what's going to happen. Have you got anything else on that?
I have no trouble. It's not going to get changed, I don't think, now at this point, unless there's a nationwide complete lockdown and they stop all sport, which I can't see that happening now. But with the whole Kelly situation arising there, you know, all it takes is a couple more teams for that to happen, and then, you know, all hell breaks loose. So we'll just need to wait and see.
Who knows, Derek? They might find an ex-player that no longer plays with them, that, you know, they use that card of that player sadly passing to get their game called off. But, you know, I'm only saying that because it's happened in the past, you know, but absolutely despicable club that they are. But it shows you the lengths that they would go to get things like that happening for them. So it's, you know, I'm hoping it still goes ahead, because we are playing, you know, really confidently just now. But they will go at any length, Derek, to try and get, you know, what they want, and to try and get fans back in to their stadium. And to me, that just shows you the sort of fear that they've got at the moment of the team, that they're desperate for it to go through.
A few transfer news here is Lewis Mayo, Josh McPake and James Maxwell all head now on a season-long loans to Championship clubs. Mayo's going to Dunfermline, McPake's going to Morton, and Maxwell is going to Queen of the South. So good luck to them there.
Yes.
It's what the academy should be doing, is if they're not going to get first-team places with us, then get them farmed out to proper sides to get some good game experience.
Yep, definitely. And good luck to them all.
Yep. Another academy prospect and brother of our player Dapo Mabudi, Deary, I think is how it's pronounced. Deary Mabudi has joined Man City. So, see, when teams like Man City and the top echelons of England or other clubs come calling, you can't really have many arguments about them leaving, can you?
No, it's obviously a huge opportunity for him. Really disappointing for us, right enough, because the boy's obviously a real talent. So, again, we'll just have, it's another one that's sadly got away there. Thankfully, we managed to keep the vast majority of our top talent, Derek. So here's hoping that there's no any more, you know, that we're going to miss out on.
Yep. A bit of a strange one here is The Chase. A question was asked on the game show The Chase.
I've seen it when it came on, and I'll let you get into it. But as soon as it came up, I thought to myself, complete Timplosion, and turned out it's correct. This is absolutely hilarious. Where do you go, Derek, please?
So the question that was asked was, which Scottish football team was triple relegated in 2012? Now, obviously, the answer is ourselves. It sent the Moon Howlers into overdrive, tweeting abuse to the actual chaser who was on at the time.
God.
And the, even writing to ITV to get them to check that and correct their facts.
And Bradley Walsh being called a Rangers sympathiser as well, which is just absolutely tremendous. And I think it was the chaser was Jenny, the Vixen Ryan, and I think she's completely fed up with supporters because she put a wee tweet out saying that she didn't want to hear any more about it, and she was just constantly... She even got a Celtic supporter. Did you see the one that she got? And it was a guy saying that that she looked and sounded very well after she to speak up or speak more clearly or something like that. And she took great offence to that and got into a big sort of debate with this one guy. And then right at the very end, he had to put the bit in that they need to get the facts, you know, sorted for that question that they had about Rangers right at the end of it. So he really wasn't interested in getting in a confab where at all. He wanted just to try and get some sort of, you know, dialogue where so that he could bring that up at the end, and he got his arse felt for it as well, which was absolutely hilarious. Again, as soon as it happened, Derek, I knew that they were going to go mental. I burst out laughing as soon as I saw it happening on there. I thought, they are going to go mental. And again, they didn't fail. They really didn't fail to let us down there, did they? It was just hilarious. Brilliant.
So our last few stories here to round it off is Shota Arveladze had tested positive for COVID. That was on the 23rd of September there. So hopefully he's over the worst of it now, and
yep,
hopefully it's a quick recovery, no lasting effects.
Definitely, yes.
Andy Halliday has signed with Hearts. Now, that has been long rumoured, that one. It's a two-year deal, I think. He was a free agent after leaving us at the end of the season. So a great bit of business for Hearts, certainly, on a free deal, and I'm sure he'll do well.
Derek, I work with quite a lot of Hearts supporters just due to where I work, the location that I work in Scotland. I work with a lot of Hearts fans, and they are absolutely delighted by this. They think that this is, you know, a phenomenal signing for them. And I spoke to them, you know, and Andy Halliday is a hard-working box-to-box midfielder, and, you know, under the right circumstances, he'll score a few goals for them as well. And, you know, we all know he's Rangers daft. He's always, you know, tied his, you know, his colours to the mast. That'll never change. He always came in, gave 100% for us. We can't say anything bad about the guy at all. And, you know, we hope it all works out for him, and we wish him all the best.
Yeah, as long as they fully understand he's one of the people.
No, I think they do, Derek. I think they know that.
Our first black signing, Walter Tull, has been honoured by the Royal Mail with a black and gold postbox on Byers Road in Glasgow.
Fantastic.
As part of Black History Month.
Yes.
It was a picture on that is along with some information about of him, about on, he was born in 1888 of all years as well, and he had agreed to sign with us while he was still in officer training in 1917 for the army. And he had agreed to play with us when he came back from army duty. However, he was sadly killed in action in France in March in 1918, which was only about 7 months before the war ended as well.
Yeah.
So fantastic bit of recognition, that one there.
It is, yeah, absolutely brilliant. It's great, another great part of your history as well, Derek. So, you know, tremendous. And back in those days, that really was a huge, you know, deal. Nothing like it, you know, it is now. But back in those days, you know, it really was. And for him to be, you know, commended like that is just excellent. And as I say, another great part of your history. It really is.
Yep. Bit of a couple of strange ones here relating to the same man. Gazza has signed up for the Italian version of Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh, my God. Right. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's been play practicing as well. Obviously, he speaks Italian as well, so he'll get on fine, I'm sure, there. And speaking of Gazza, there's apparently a biopic of Gazza's later years of his life so far in the works with either Johnny Lee Miller, Jimmy Nail, or Sean Bean, all tipped to play him. So I'm not too
Johnny
sure.
Johnny Lee Miller, Jimmy Nail, or Sean Bean.
Yes.
I mean, they all look the same. Not. God, it's not a strange. Right, okay. I take it the Jimmy Nail is basically just because he's a Geordie and he's an actor. Is that basically the only reason that he's in there? Because that's about the only similarities that is between him and Gaza. Let's be perfectly honest. He's about 6'5", dark hair with a huge nose, so it's not exactly Disney looking like him. So aye, that's a bit strange. Derek.
All right, Pet.
You sound like somebody from in India. Oh, Derek, I was going to say your impressions are hilarious, but that would make it sound as if they were good.
So, doing things slightly differently for this wee section.
Right, okay.
We all have heard of Kerry Dale Meltdown. For last night only, they changed their name to Galatasaray Meltdown. And I don't know if you've seen any of this, Dave, but it was hilarious. I think there was a couple of people tweeting out random shit, and it was obviously getting put through Translate, so how much of this is kind of came as proper, I'm not too sure. But here's a few of the highlights.
I'm so glad you've done this, right? Go for it.
Falco is eating haggis penis. I kill that up a hill. Fat man Gaza, you lose weight and come see my mum, and she'll shove dildo in you, asshole.
What's that going to do with Gaza? Oh my god.
Falco disappeared again. The man has no standing up erection.
Oh god, right.
Kerryfield pretends Celtic now, Turkey we fuck in ass. I want to fuck a Scott Ranger in the ass and fuck Celtic want an ass.
I could be really, really inappropriate here, but just move on.
The hometown of Turkey, the Galatasaray from Turkey fucked. Falco is not a blown Drogba. Diagnose should now play 11. Galatasaray does not have a Schneider who can shag Arfield. Rangers man, get your ass out. I kill it with my ass.
There's a lot of asses involved. Have you noticed that? There's a lot of things to do with asses. That's quite worrying.
Gerard, I come suck your cock off, you bum ass face.
Oh my god, they're obsessed. They're obsessed.
Falco, you fucking bum from Queen, you go home and sex with Turan, fuck you. Rangers have sex with whistle fuck UEFA, go to shit hell ass Celtic.
It's got to do with sex and ass. That's a sort of common theme here.
I fuck you in the ass, Haggis.
Oh my god.
To round it off here, Rangers, you mum ugly and I fuck you dad in ass and I like it.
Aye. As I say, there's one common theme there, all of those insults, but... I've got to say, hats off to the guys at Kerry Dale Meltdown for doing that last night. Absolutely hilarious. Really was good. The tension, to be fair, the interaction, some of the stuff that I've read on Twitter this week between Rangers fans and Galatasaray fans has been quite incredible.
So, on that eventful note, if you want to check our stuff out, you can go to our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com, and you can find a lot of our stuff that we do there. Still not all, because I've no other chance to get it updated. How to deal with children and housework and all that kind of thing. Modern day men, you know, Dave, that's what it is.
Exactly, yeah. I can see you with your feather duster, don't you, Derek?
So I'll be back with a post-match pod on Sunday after the Ross County game. It won't be till later on. I've got a family thing to deal with first after that, after the game, but it'll come out later on. So Dave and I will be back probably not next week, but maybe the week after, depending on the way things fall with games and stuff. But all I can say is thanks for listening and goodbye.
Yeah, here's hoping we get another fantastic result on Sunday, so look forward to it. Take care, folks. We'll speak to you soon.
Right.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Do. Sevco's gonna get pumped. We'll see the Celts in the group stage. We've got Falco do on your cure. Oh no, it's one of those Rangers. Cheats, absolute cheats.